Ladies and gentlemen, Back Gig Studios Lounge is proud to present The Gig Cast.
Can't push the mic away for me, otherwise it's
so I understand completely. And as I say that, I'm also thinking to myself, hello and welcome to the Gigcast. This is a Gigcast show 202. By definition, twice as good as show 101.
Did you say that last time?
I didn't. I tweeted about it earlier this week though, but I mistweeted. I said twice as good as 201 was twice as good, but I was talking about 202.
But, I could have swore you said that in the last show.
No, I didn't. I did not. I tweeted about it, about this show being twice as good a show as 101. In any case, this is a show for the second week of March, 2011. I'm your host, J.T. Shea. Joining me from the Great White North, although not so white this time of year, I would think.
It's still white today.
It's Scott Galton from MattScottComics.com and ScottGalton.com. I know, I should just point to ScottGalton.com now, I realize that.
Yeah, I don't really do anything. Mad Scott redirects anyway.
So it's all good.
Well, I don't know if it's doable.
We'll go with that. And it's just us today, blathering on about whatever we feel like needs to be talked about in the world of webcomics and other fun things on the web.
Yeah, why don't you give me some ukulele news for a change?
Ukulele news?
What's new in the world of ukuleles?
What's new in the world of ukuleles? The Ukulele World Congress is going to be in the first weekend of June in Nashville, Indiana, sponsored by the Mainland Ukulele Company up there. Mike Hoosier-Hiver, go for it, man. Good talking about you. Going to be a lot of fun. Basically, it's a weekend camp out type thing. There are cabins, there are tents, there are lots of people drinking and playing ukulele. So if you're interested, check it out at the go to Ukulele Underground at ukuleleunderground.com. Go in the forums there and do a search for UWC or Ukulele World Congress. The information's all there. Or go to mainlandukuleles.com and check out their fine wares as well as the information on the World Congress. So there you go. There's your ukulele news. You see, you thought you were going to get me. You thought I would have nothing to say when you brought that up, did you?
No, I thought there was a reasonably good chance that you might, and I'm just... I'm a little stunned, honestly, that there's a... I mean, I guess you really only need three people to declare it a conference.
Exactly. No, World Congress, but, not conference, Congress. It's actually a meeting of... This is actually the third annual.
And what kind of law, ukulele-type laws, do they pass in this Congress?
It's very similar to the stuff you get, say, in the Margaritaville World Congress. Very similar.
I'm sorry, there's a Margaritaville
But if there were... If there were, it would be very similar where it's just about laying back, you know, being laid back, have some fun, get along with everybody, and play some good music and drink, I think, basically, is the gist. It's not like down here in Tampa last year, that last November, and coming up this November, we also have the Tampa Bay Ukulele Getaway, which is a more structured event with workshops and concerts. And vendors and stuff that you go and you look at vintage ukuleles for a new ukulele, and you go to a couple of workshops to learn how to play ukulele better and talk with people with similar interests. It's not structured like that. It's more just a stage in a field with a generator and lights and a sound system, and it basically it's a huge open mic, and there are bonfires and drinking and playing ukulele for the weekend. So it's like that.
And are you attending?
This year I'm going.
Okay.
I'm actually hitching a ride with the Barn Kickers, or with the father half of the Barn Kickers, driving up to Tennessee to pick up the daughter half of the Barn Kickers, and then going off to Indiana.
All right, because I'll admit it's really that half of it that I'm more interested in.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
She's a good-looking gal.
She is, and very talented.
Yeah, they both are. I am a little impressed that you know and actually they speak to you.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing.
Or are you just providing transportation?
No. Is this a job? No. I'm glomming onto that ride.
Huh.
Yes, that's of course if everything goes as planned, and things rarely do. But if that's the plan. If my wife lets me. That's one of the problems with recording in the kitchen.
No, I completely support this. If we can somehow get your wife mic'd here.
Yeah. Do you want to get a microphone and step in and join the conversation? No, she says no. That's okay.
I'd really like to know what a ukulele widow's opinion on this whole thing is.
Scott wants to know what a ukulele widow's opinion is on this. Although I haven't been that, with my work schedule, I don't get to play as much ukulele as I'd like to outside of the house.
It's when he wakes me up at 3 in the morning.
She says it's when I wake her up at 3 in the morning with the open mic.
I heard her.
Yeah, you heard her? Oh, you heard her. Okay. Damn these good microphones.
Very it's a very good microphone, yeah.
Anyway, so that's what's going on in the world of ukulele. And that's the ukulele half of my night gig there. So, what's up with you, Scott? What's going on with Minnesota? Now we are. How many people have confirmed Spring Con up there with you, or is it Fall Con? Which one are you talking about?
You mean night gig people, or just generic Spring Con?
Well, night gig people and also generic Spring Con people, because I know that there are people that are going there that you're meeting up with that are not just night gig people.
Well, I don't know how many people are in actual attendance at SpringCon. I know it's a sort of a mid-sized show. There is the Cartoonist Conspiracy group, and there's usually about 20 artists that show up for any of the cons. There is House of Duck. There's half a dozen people outside of the Cartoonist Conspiracy, International Cartoonist Conspiracy.
Cool.
If you look that up on Google, you may even be able to start a chapter in your city.
Mm-hmm.
I will try to get you a link here to that. There is, like I said, there's a few other people outside of that group that I've sort of known and met now that are starting to show up.
Uh-huh.
Paul Taylor always shows up from Wapsie Square. There's... I don't know if Spike's going to show up or not. She usually, she's shown up for the last few.
Very nice, very nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
But otherwise, as of the night gig people, James Riot, who mm-hmm. does The Path.
Right.
He's showing up.
Cool.
And then Carl Kuros.
All right. That's sounds like a pretty good group there. And Carl's going to be the problem. But be careful with him.
I'm really kind of wondering how that's going to all work out.
Carl makes it work. He's one of those guys where it's an idea, he's going to do it. He plunks on the money, and then it happens. Doesn't matter if it goes as planned, something's going to happen.
Right
now, MegaCon, which we're not having a table at this year for the first time in 5 years, is...
Well, don't let Carl hear you say that, because he's still in...
We're still on the wait list. We're still there, fingers crossed. I still have the days off, and I'm still planning on going at least on Saturday with my family. That's very minimum. And I will have my digital recorder with me, so I'll try to get some interviews with some of the folks there, our regulars that we try to talk to every year. And... So it should be fun. Ailish is actually going. Don't tell anybody I said this because she gets kind of embarrassed. She is actually going in cosplay. So,
all right.
Yeah. It's.
Do we know what the cosplay costume will be?
Yeah, she's big into Hitalia.
Yeah, she mentioned that, and I have to keep looking that up. So what?
Yeah, it's kind of like a European world. It's like each country is a character. It's like World War I up through World War II. It's just kind of. Yeah. Oh, hi, Ailish. Oh, she can hear me through the wall. This is a family gig cast.
You know that, right?
Yeah, why doesn't Ailish have a mic? I mean, I can understand your wife not wanting to be on the show.
Ailish should be mic'd as well. I agree.
Ailish has no excuse.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi. Alicia. Well, she has an excuse. She has to get up at 5 o'clock for school, so she should be asleep.
Well, I've attended school. You really don't have to try that hard. they still let you graduate.
Am I going to have to edit this part out of the show?
Not on my part.
No, not on.
Let's talk about homework.
Homework? No, she's already.
Yeah, that's all. That's all I've got to add.
Yeah, homework. Oh, she's doing well. No, but she's a very funny.
Welcome to the
English Geekcast. She's funny because she's really really a fangirl into this, but at the same time she's embarrassed that she's a fangirl into this.
Well, yeah. Okay. This is something, and Ayla should maybe, we really should get her on here for this someday. I discovered because of Facebook, no doubt,
mm-hmm.
that because of Facebook, there were all these friends of mine, female friends of mine in high school growing up,
uh-huh.
that were complete nerds, but would not have admitted to it then. And now it's like, well, it's safe now. You know, I'm 38 years old. I can admit that I watched Doctor Who religiously, yeah, exactly. And that's really why you guys had to get us home in time. Yeah. The pictures of Amy, a friend of mine from high school, uh-huh. Amy showing up at some cons in Star Trek costume, and I'm like, where was this? Where was this when I was
exactly?
Years
Why
old?
Weren't the girls into this sort of thing when we were in high school? Exactly, you know. Alish is actually has headphones now, so she can hear what's going on with us.
Yeah, no,
we're just what's
it? You're ahead of the curve. That's all. That's all.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's one of those things where. It's you know let your inner geek go is what we're, you know, and the thing I keep trying to tell her, and she didn't understand this, the kind of friends that I have would not think less of you because you do this. They think more of you because you do this, you know.
Yeah, but no,
she doesn't want to talk.
Nobody really wants to impress 30-year-old guys.
Right, I understand that.
I mean, that's
don't cry. Cry.
it's the bonehead jock guy that, you know, that has a car. You know, it's that guy there that Elish is going to try to impress someday.
No.
I'm
an IB program, are you kidding me?
Put it this way, I picked up a couple of her friends a couple weeks ago. I picked up her and a couple of her friends, and we got in a deep discussion about Doctor Who and all this other stuff, and yeah, it's like her friends are. I approve.
They all think he's cool.
Yeah, hear that? The high school kids think I'm cool.
By the way, we need to stop for a moment and make sure we flag this as a Doctor Who spoiler free episode.
Yes, this is a Doctor Who spoiler free episode. The 11th Doctor. We're not talking about him at all. Miss Kukowski, you're okay.
We could talk about John Pertwee, though, couldn't we?
How about? Oh, speaking of Doctor Who, this is not spoilerific at all. I watched the Doctor Who movie last night. And
which one? The Dalek one?
No, the one that was 1980 when they tried to revive the Doctor. The one that was in San Francisco.
Oh, the Seventh Doctor
one. The Seventh Doctor one, and the one in No, it wasn't the Seventh Doctor. Wasn't it the Ninth Doctor?
No. Wasn't there a the one where he was like
in
the
San Francisco
for the movie or whatever?
Yeah. The one shot Doctor there.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
Oh, it's awful! It's so bad.
I thought you meant the one where it was the they did a movie where it was like the Seven Doctors or something.
No, not that one. Not that one.
That one's actually kind of fun because it's like you get all these doctors and you put them in a room and they all get to be doctory. You know, it's just it's really kind of corny, but it's
I've seen the one with the three doctors. I've seen the movie with the three doctors.
It doesn't really have Tom Baker in it, though.
No.
Well, I mean, it's got everybody else, but it didn't have Tom Baker.
You know, that movie, it was supposed to be the Millennium, but it's funny because you watch the movie and like, the guy, the fat comic comedian actor that was on Mad TV and is now on the Bleep My Dad Says with William Shatner.
Yeah.
The fat guy, the older brother?
Will Sasso?
That isn't. Yeah, that's him. He was in that movie. Okay. He was in the Doctor Who movie. I'm like, hey, that's the guy from. It's like, all right. That was the fun part about watching the movie is just that, because it was a really, really bad movie. It just wasn't. It wasn't bad in the corny way that Doctor Who is supposed to be bad and corny.
Okay.
It was just awful. Awful.
There are actually Doctor Who episodes you can watch on Hulu.
Yeah, really? Yeah. They're all over
I shouldn't say episodes. There's movies that you can watch. There's the Doctor Who and the Daleks or something.
Yeah, they're all over Netflix, too. There's a lot of them you can stream, and then, of course, the discs.
I don't have Netflix, though.
You need to get Netflix, but it's only $8 a month for streaming.
Yeah, well, it's also $8 a month to feed my ass.
Yeah. You know, give up lunch twice a week if you don't buy your lunch. Yeah, I know. I'm with you, dude. Believe me.
Giving up my lunch.
All right.
Doctor Who and the Daleks.
Yes. So anyway, if anybody is going to be at MegaCon on Saturday, tweet at me. I'll have my phone the whole time. We can meet up, whatever, say hi. Just going to be the one day there. Unless, for some miracle, the clouds part and a table appears, and lo and behold, Nightgate gets to represent officially at MegaCon this year. Most likely, that's not going to be happening. But if it does, any case, we'll be there on Saturday. So that should be fun. With my, shouldn't be embarrassed, but his daughter. And my boy wants to dress up as something, too. I don't know what he's got a great Mario costume, doesn't want to do it. He was Indiana Jones last year, doesn't want to do that again. He's been there as Darth Vader.
You know what he needs to cosplay as?
What's that?
The Fonz.
He wouldn't even know who the Fonz was.
Well, then you have failed as a father.
Hey, by the way, this is rum and coke. No, what do you mean a failed? No, my kids are very geeky. I have not failed as a geek dad.
If they don't know who the Fonz is, you have failed.
Really? Is the Fonz that important?
No, but I'm just going to make you feel guilty.
Oh, okay. But he does, I believe he does understand the jump the shark reference.
Okay.
I believe that he knows that comes from Happy Days when Fonzie jumps the shark, but I don't think he really has an idea of who is and how cool Fonzie actually was.
Fonzie really wasn't all that cool. No. I mean, well, he was early on in the show. By the end of the show, though, he was really kind of...
He was mamby-pamby. He was...
It was like, you know, who put the...
You know who did that to him? It was that Cunningham kid. He ruined him.
Well, I'm not sure it was the Cunningham kid, because there were some girls he dated in the show that sort of ruined him as well.
Oh, yeah. The chicks do that. My favorite episodes is when he couldn't say he's sorry or he's wrong. No, I'm sorry. Oh, so anyway, looks like we're back to our old rambling ways here.
Well, no, this started out on Target, and Ailish came in. Is Ailish still there?
No, she left.
Oh well, then I won't have to tell her that she's. She kind of turned out pretty awesome so far.
She has. She's very happy with.
No, we started out on track. We were talking about ukulele stuff, and that's probably going to bore some people to tears. But it's just
it's my night gig right now. Part of it. So
well, it's part of geeky culture. And I don't know how it really steps back into geeky culture. I really think it piggybacked in on something else, but I'm not. Sure.
I think it was the Jonathan Colton thing Molly with the ukulele and the Joko Crazy Cruise and the whole Woodstock thing with Molly as well with the ukulele playing.
Can I somehow blame hipsters? I mean,
well, you can, but you can't, because the hipsters aren't really the ones that are. There are hipster ukulele players, sure, like you know that fake it, like that whole Train song, that Hey Soul Sister song.
See, I think hipsters sort of made it ironically interesting again, and then all the in hiding ukulele players have come out of the closet now.
Yeah, a lot of them over 60.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's sort of one of those. I think it's one of those. You know, those wacky kids came out and said, "Hey, ukuleles are kind of fun."
Now, here's the
thing. Then all the 60-year-old ukulele players came out and went, "Yeah, look, I can still play." And then they all went,
"Right,
Yeah, not that much fun.
You know, not so much, but they're like, hey, that's a nice ukulele. You want to sell that? Now, the thing is, like, the whole ukulele congress versus ukulele conferencing, the conferences are all the people that are over 60 go to, and they're, you know, whatnot. And then the thing in the woods there in Indiana, the World Congress, that's all the, you know, 20, 30, and young 40-year-olds that are just picked up the ukulele recently and party hard and play.
Well, that's it's a musical instrument that you can play drunk.
Exactly. And some of them are built like the flea that I have is strong enough to, you can actually feel safe enough to bring it to a camping situation and not worry about breaking your instrument, so to speak.
Huh.
Yeah. Kind of cool. Speaking of kind of cool, you know, with my job right now, work. There's a lot of downtime in between calls, and I've been surfing the web for things to look at and do and read and pay for time. And I found this blog through a friend of mine who mentioned, and you know, it's apparently it's pretty popular. It's got lots of followers, but it's just. I find it hilarious, and what really is nice, it brings it into the whole this podcast type of thing. The name of the blog is Hyperbole and a Half, and it's at hyperboleandahalf.blogspot.com. And what's really cool is that she started out. This is a 20-something-year-old girl, just graduated, doesn't work, she's got ADHD. And she blogs about her childhood and things that have happened to her, which are kind of funny and amazing to begin with. But what she started doing about, I don't know, probably 6-7 months ago is instead of just putting a big blurb of text of the story, she's been starting to illustrate the story using whatever the MS Paint equivalent on her Mac computer is. So it's very stylized, simple, well, not simple, I won't say simple, but stylized, you know, crude drawings illustrating these stories that she's, her blog posts. And I find them hilarious, very entertaining. And the way that she gets across the, with the illustrations, what's going on in the story, because a lot of them are when she's a little girl, some of them when she's older, but yet she still looks relatively the same in the pictures because of the way she draws them. But it's just the expressions of her and her dogs and other things that she and her sister and stuff. It's just hilarious, I think. And hours of entertainment by going back through her posts. Now, she hasn't posted since February something, so I don't know if she's still – I'm assuming she's still active and just busy doing other things, but check it out. I really recommend it. The link will be in the show notes. hyperboleandahalf.blogspot.com.
I'm thinking she's secretly a 42-year-old man who's got.
No, she has pictures and videos and stuff too. She's
Yeah, that's never been faked.
She'd have to work really hard to fake this. And when she was faking it back when she had like a, you know, she celebrated when she had 200 subscribers, and apparently now she's in the millions. It's Allie. What's her last name? I don't know. Hoff, I think, or something, or Allie. I don't remember.
Allie, oops.
She's on Twitter and everything too, but she's very funny. I find it very entertaining. I've read the whole thing pretty much, and it's just something to do if you have some time.
I'm finding that apparently I know people that follow this.
There you go. See what I mean?
I went to the Goofy Facebook page, and it states that. Well, it may be lying to me. But it says 7 friends like this page.
Why would Facebook lie? It's Allie Brosh. Sorry, her last name is Brosh. There we go. Sorry, because at the bottom of the page there, it's a very funny thing. It says copyright 2009-2011 by Allie Brosh, strictly enforced by the copyright monster. And there's a little guy in the corner going, "I kill you." So it's very funny in a way. You should check it out. And according to the little page load stat thingy. 6,500,000 times this page has been loaded.
Yeah, that's never been faked either.
I'm just saying. She's got 50,000 followers on.
Look, I've got a hit counter. No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it could be very entertaining. you know what I mean? I mean, I'm not. It's probably one of those incredibly entertaining things that I just don't get, and I don't. I'm not a blog reader so much. I don't really, really get off on people's stories about how, you know, this or that happened, you know, in their childhood.
I agree. I'm not either, but I find which is what you mentioned before, that you looked at this and you were not enthralled by it, but because of the crudeness of the pictures and stuff like that, and I said I've got a rebuttal of that, and so you want to make
I'm waiting for that rebuttal.
Here's a rebuttal. The rebuttal is, if you go to a blog post and somebody has just got, you know, five paragraphs of just words explaining what happened, unless they're an incredible writer and can really draw you in really quickly, you're going to get halfway through the first paragraph and click off somewhere else.
But that's not really a rebuttal, because I swear to God, I started reading and then I got to the first or second picture and went, meh. And I can't bitch, because here's the proof in the pudding. On this one post that I don't really care to even get to the end of.
Yeah.
There's 1,113 comments.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, of course, the first one is
first. Right? But that's a given.
Yeah, I guess. This is where blogging is a wonderful thing for people. It's a way to get out whatever it is that's in their head, and that's lovely. And it's.
But if you really want to get a snapshot of her. Of her sense of humor, click on the store link on there.
No. I'm not saying she doesn't have a sense of humor. I'm not saying that some of this isn't cute.
Right.
The whole, awesome button or whatever, and the copyright monster, and it's all very cutesy. But sure. Didn't you say this is like a 20-something?
She's like, 22, 23 or something. Just graduated from college this last year or so. But she's got a tranny Horace Rex T-shirt and a shark bear. Her shark bear drawing is awesome. You know, it's
and this is where shark bear, funny,
yeah.
But I'm getting over it.
Yeah. Okay. No, I got you.
You know, maybe got burned by Sharktopus or whatever it was. You know, Sharktopus versus whatever it was. I'm waiting.
Mm-hmm.
I got you.
I mean, she also does some writing for like the Cracked blog over on the Cracked magazine site.
Yeah, no.
Also, I mean, it may not be for everybody.
No.
But I found it entertaining, and it got me through a few days at work. That's all I'm saying. That's all. She invented this. It's a spaghetti noodle or spaghetti noddle with it. Basically, it's a spaghetti noodle that has a speech impediment. I couldn't follow it on Facebook because it had too many friend requests. It's obviously it's very popular, internet famous, I guess.
Yeah, but okay. There are a lot of things that are internet famous. That shouldn't be.
Shouldn't be, sure. I can't
I'm sorry. That's the wrong word. Shouldn't be is the wrong word, because everything has a right to be famous for whatever the hell they want it to be.
Right.
But there are a lot of things that become very popular and then go from being very popular and witty to internet famous and redundant.
Tiger blood and winning. What are you talking about? Adonis DNA, baby. Yeah, I know what you mean. I know exactly what you're saying there.
And for those who are going to come out and go, you don't know what you're talking about. It's hyperbole and a half. Great. I'm sure it is. And I'm sure that these are lovely stories about her life. But it's always strange how these are always stories about some 20-something girl who's in a witty way relating her childhood. You really don't hear very much or very often about that 20-something pimply-faced fat kid who's relating his stories. And it's always that, I don't know. I'm like, what is our – why are we entertained by this is my question. I mean, it's not
I find it entertaining because – for a couple reasons. One, the writing is actually really good, and it does actually, she's explaining the stories from her childhood and things she's remembered with her and her sister and her parents and living in this middle of nowhere, Idaho, whatever. It's very well written, and I think that, and then with the pictures that she draws that goes with it, just adds to the it's totally out of my brain right now. It adds to the allure. It adds to the enjoyment of reading the article.
Okay.
There's a couple now. The thing is, there's a couple that she wrote earlier without the illustrations, which read great without them. And then she went, like, for instance, think the cake one. I don't know if that might be one of the ones, or the scariest one, maybe the one that's the scariest story. There was one that she has redid with illustrations that just added a whole other layer of, because basically when she's telling a story about when she's 5 or 6 years old and she's drawing the pictures like she's drawing them, it's almost like you're seeing the story through her eyes. But again, with the writing, it was strong enough for it to be a good blog post on its own, a good article on its own, never mind blog post. A good story. The style of the drawings that she puts in there to illustrate the things, the expressions on the faces. The story about, if you have to read one of them, read the story about how she tested to see if one of her dogs to see if it was retarded. That one, the pictures of her drawing her dog and the It's funny, and the illustrations perfectly illustrate. You know, illustrations perfectly illustrate. There's a little redundancy there. Is awesome. It's one of her better stories. It's not about, you know, when she was a kid. It's a story about she has this dog which she thought was retarded, and she Googled how to tell her dog was retarded and found a test. It's just very funny, and the illustrations.
No, I mean,
are great.
And I will give her this. There is way more effort into this than you see on even some very, very professional journalistic endeavors.
Yeah.
And I'm pointing at Huffington Post, where, you know, you get three paragraphs and they call that a news story.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm not pointing directly at Huffington Post alone. There's most of the news I find on the internet nowadays is just regurgitation of something AP said, and then they put a little spin on it, and then they call it a story, and it's really sad.
Or they get they're trying to get it out so fast, there's no factual content to it. But yeah, okay.
Right. I'm giving her an A+ because these are some really fucking long stories.
You know, I read somewhere that in one of our interviews she did that it's like almost like 16 hours for some of these things.
I feel horribly bad because you're swearing that these are sweet and witty and good stories, but it's making my eyes bleed, man. I'm okay. Trying to read The God of Cake.
What? And that's actually a pretty good story too. Now, okay, let's just let it go. Then people can go to Hibernate Path themselves if they haven't already.
I bet a lot of people
already have.
I'm starting a feud. You wanted a feud.
You know what? We got more important things to talk about. For instance,
you just
Captain Crunch is going away.
You don't. That's
Captain Crunch is going away.
Why do you have to ruin my pseudo fake? Thing I was trying to start by bringing me down with the depressing news.
A Captain Crunch.
I mean, on the same day that the Wisconsin goofballs decide to go through and push the damn bill through anyways by stripping any financial measure out of it, and basically proving that they don't have to listen to any of us anyways.
Yeah.
They also are going to get rid of Captain Crunch.
Yeah, it's going away.
How bad can the news possibly get?
Do you know what was one of my dearest, nearest, greatest childhood memories is when I found at a garage sale when I was a kid, it was a plastic model of the USS Guppy, which is Captain Crunch's ship. And it was a full model, and I got to put it together. And I think it actually floated. It was one of those deals where it actually, you know, became an actual boat. I mean, Captain Crunch is awesome. The peanut butter, the crunch berries.
Are they going to discontinue the whole line or just Captain Crunch?
I think the whole line because they're getting rid of, according to PepsiCo, who owns it, you know, all the sugary cereals are not getting as much sales these days because the health conscious things and, you know. I don't know. Yes. Yes, Johnny. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Cap Crunch is going away.
No way.
Yeah, really.
Well, he said we'd have Johnny Depp on.
There he is. The Johnny Depp soundboard. I should probably have got that link from you, but then you couldn't hear it. Everybody else could, but you couldn't. Yeah, well.
Probably.
My mixer's acting up.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So in that 10 seconds, you managed to get me to change subjects.
Yeah.
By depressing me about Captain Crunch.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, tomorrow I'm going to stop by the store and pick up as many boxes as I can.
I think you should.
I think I'm going with Crunchberries, though. I like Crunchberries better, I think.
You know, right now they have a all Crunchberries, if you can get an all Crunchberry cereal, if you're so inclined.
All right. There are a number of what I would consider reasonably good reviews of Hyperbole and a Half that swear to God it's hideous and hilarious.
They've
hit us on both halves.
There you go.
You're going with the hilarious, and I'm going with the
hideous.
No, and I've said that in the past, though. It's like I'm easily distracted by shiny things.
Yeah.
But that also means I will turn and watch a train wreck. You know, it's,
right, sure.
And I'm just, I don't know.
We'll check back last week and see if you've gone visited a few times and read a few articles and see what
no,
you think.
No, I'm never reading this again.
Okay.
I would maybe be willing.
Let's let this dead horse lie, shall we?
maybe I'd find her Twitter posts more entertaining because they don't have pictures.
Yeah, well, the older blog posts don't have pictures either. In any case,
I might find. Seriously, I might honestly. This is going to be really sad because I draw like shit.
No, you don't.
No, whatever.
Step above at least.
I would probably find her writing more entertaining. But whatever. You know, it's like, you know, I know people that like other comics that I just think are crap.
Yeah.
So what am I going to say?
You know what I just realized?
I am not the one with millions of followers, and she is. So
yeah, exactly.
I'm doing something stupid.
Yeah. You know, I just realized, too, that we promised this show is going to be twice as good as 101, so we really need to step this up. What else we got?
Why? What did we do on 101?
I don't remember, honestly.
How do you know it was all that good?
I that's a very good point. You know, saying it's twice as good as 101 may actually be not
if you
that
have two
not,
cups
not,
of coffee,
that
that's twice as good as one
or
cup
just
of
finish this rum and coke, and I think we've won. You know,
yeah,
winning. Sorry, I gotta stop that.
Ooh, I know a secret. I know a secret.
Oh, you do.
Yeah,
but we can't. We told Brock we wouldn't talk about it though.
We did.
Didn't you?
Well, I probably did.
I don't
but
know.
It's
the email, so I don't remember.
Well, it said, please don't talk about this.
Well,
but
means
that we can't.
I don't know. He didn't like to tell us not to. He asked us not to.
Well, first he claimed this was happening on February 17th. And then
all
I
right, so his story's all out of whack as it is.
So how could this possibly be?
It's almost a month old, the news. So I mean, it's,
right,
we, could,
so, yes,
we should be able to talk about it.
It's super Fogey's news.
Right. Nope. Yeah,
and
exactly. Uh-huh.
It's big friggin' news. But he said it was February 17th, so we
it's got to be a month old by now, right? It's cutting up there. I mean, this is, what, this is March 9th we're recording this,
even,
right? 10th?
Even
9th,
if he
9th?
Said
yeah.
that, even if he came back and clarified that, you know, the actual change to superfogies.com wasn't going to happen until March 17th. We've certainly spilled the beans before on things that we weren't supposed to.
Well, yeah. I mean, we had to edit the hell of it of what show 199 because we almost let it know that Gaddafi was leaving Libya, and we had to take that whole thing out of there.
We did.
Well,
Gaddafi hasn't left Libya yet.
See, that's the thing. We had to take it out of there because he wasn't actually leaving yet.
We actually took that out.
I don't know. Did we?
You edited something?
I had to edit one, yeah. I did edit. But you can see.
Thing?
But I'm so good at it, you really can't even tell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know Brock is coming up on 300 strips?
I've heard that. Yes, that was in the email. Which is amazing.
I mean, it's gone fast.
He's, you know, two-week updates,
is he counting,
right? So.
And I'm just curious. Is he counting all the origins and everything in this 300, or is it just 300 Super Foggy storyline?
I would think, wouldn't he count those? I mean, he drew them and wrote them. Wouldn't they count as strips?
Well, yeah, but is it, I guess. I mean, but it's not like, I mean, these are separate stories, all right? I mean, do we get to count them?
I don't know. Maybe, you know, we could, I suppose. I mean, we can give them the benefit of the doubt, you know, 300, give or take, coming up, right?
Huh. Maybe there's going to be some kind of a foil cover for issue 300. That's the big news.
Superman's going to die, I think, is what the big news is.
Superman's going to die. Yeah, no, I mean, no, maybe there'll be some kind of a, like, polybagged foil cover web edition.
Or maybe there'll be multiple covers. So you have to collect them all, you know, buy them 3 or 4 times over.
Yeah, wouldn't that be strange? Hey, while we're actually on target here a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The other kind of cool news that I spotted over at Fleen.com today.
Yes.
And, you know, I should scroll back, see how old this is.
It may not be news after all, but go right ahead.
It is news. Okay, it is news. Marvel announced that they're going to let Chris Hastings of Dr. McNinja fame write I guess they're calling it a short story, or, you know, whatever, a miniseries, a Deadpool. He's going to be writing a Deadpool miniseries.
That is awesome. But not only is that news, that's breaking news at Fleen. And I have I have a breaking news bumper that I could use, but my mixer is not letting it play. So that's fine. That's excellent.
I mean, and you actually have a bumper for breaking news?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like breaking glass or anything retarded like that.
No. It's the one you hear that all the... So it's the one that all the podcasts use.
There's a standard?
It goes... Breaking news, that one.
It's very pseudo cable television news channel.
Yes, exactly. You'll hear it on many podcasts.
The Onion News Network.
Onion has actually writers and musicians and crap. No, this is the one you hear on all. It's one of them free sound dealies that all the podcasts use. But I have it on my iPod, ready to play through the mixer into your ears. But it doesn't work.
Go out to Onion. I bet they do the same one on there.
I mean, I could play it so everybody else could hear it, but you couldn't hear it.
Okay.
If you want, I could. Want me to?
I'm fine with that, really.
All right, here, let's do it. Hold on. Here we go.
Well, wait a minute.
Breaking news.
There. Did you hear? You didn't hear it, did you?
No, I didn't hear it at all. But you realize you now just played the breaking news.
After, you know, the breaking news was already in. But that's okay. But I can fix that in post. But it's all right. It's good.
Because I don't really have much new to mention. I mean, other than Deadpool's kind of an obvious character for him to write since he's got that down.
And also, if for some unknown reason somebody who listens to us has not heard of or read Dr. McNinja, they need to.
Yeah, we interviewed him first, suckers.
We did. That's right. We were there. The one half of the team of Dr. McNinja. Right, weren't there Archer, Ken Archer, was it? And
something like that.
Okay, I remember that because it's such an awesome name.
You know, this Ali Brosh has 64,000 followers.
Uh huh. Right back to that horse. If the horse is dead, just keep getting right back on that fucker. Yeah, if you fall off a dead horse, get back on and try again. Is that what the?
What's a curiosity thing? You know, it's like,
it is. I know.
You know, you told me something was shiny, and I'm looking.
You're gonna. You're going to be thinking about it in the middle of the night. You're going to get up and just start reading, and it's going to be
no,
morning.
No, I'm not going to. No, I'll continue to be amazed that it's interesting. But it goes to a lot of things where people go, hey, this comic is great. And I go, really? And then I look at it for a while, and I go, okay.
Do you know what Dr. McNinja's now sells?
What?
Battle magnets.
Okay.
No,
what's a battle magnet?
Okay, it's a bunch of like little magnets, like strip magnets that, you know, like the magnets you put in your refrigerator that have words and you can make little stupid sayings, like, you know, if.
No, I've never seen those before.
Okay, just like them, except they're pictures of Dr. McNinja and cowboy sidekick and the Raptors and Dirt Bike Dude, and they're all in fighting poses, and you put them on your refrigerator like they're fighting each other. They're battle magnets.
Huh.
That's cool.
Who'd have thunk it?
I know. Anyway, yeah, talking about distracted by shiny. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, I freely admit that it's more laziness and lack of motivation that that'd prevent me from doing a set of night gig battle magnets or whatever.
Yeah. That and our four listeners wouldn't pay to buy them.
Well, you know, if they'd speak up more often, we might do more custom things just for them.
It's funny because a lot of them don't speak up, and then there are some that just won't shut up. No, I'm kidding. Katie, I love you. I'm sorry. All right.
Well, there's that one guy.
That one guy.
Well, you know, if we would have taken Tom's advice and organize and plan.
Tom?
From last week. Who stressed planning and preparation as being...
Hey, preparation. I moved the laptop into the kitchen and I made a rum and coke. What other preparation do I need?
Well, you could have soundproofed the room, both your wife and your daughter.
My daughter. I think Ayla's just still listening through the wall right now. Oh, and then the boy just ran by. We had a trifecta.
Yeah. It's nice that you let your young children run around at 11 o'clock at night.
11:20. Yeah, I know. Hey, what you going to do?
School tomorrow. Hey, by the way, teachers, yeah, this is why.
What you going to do? Yeah, exactly.
No, yeah, not to keep beating dead
horses. I think we need to change our tagline to the usual bullshit with some info thrown in. I think pretty much is what we're
doing. What info have we thrown in?
We talked about the Deadpool thing with the Dr. McNinja, and then we talked about the Super Fogies, super secret thing where they go back in time and become like Muppet babies. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that. Got it?
Perfect example.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
I don't get – well, we've had discussions on the air before about XKCD.
Yes, we have.
And there are a lot of people who don't get XKCD and how it's entertaining.
I don't understand how they don't, but okay.
Exactly. Whatever. If I ever decide to actually go back and read Hyperbole and a Half. Maybe I'll be a convert.
You know what? I'm laughing because I didn't realize that's where you're going back to. You blindsided me there, dude.
Okay. We could go with Dinosaur Comics. I don't read Dinosaur Comics.
I don't either.
Okay. Lots of people love Dinosaur Comics.
Yeah, I don't get it. But
it's that exact same thing.
Sure.
It's that, you know, hey, we're Dinosaur Comics. We've got
dinosaurs.
The exact same strip every day with just and we've changed the text, but it's literally the exact same strip every day. You know how many people don't realize that? Or at least don't realize it until it's pointed out?
Yeah.
I had to point that out to somebody the other day.
Well, they're not reading it.
It's Dinosaur Comic, and I'm like,
you're not reading it for the art.
Well, I do. I try. But I read all comics. I read most of my comics for the art. I mean, that's why I'm there. All right.
Well, before we so what you're saying is it may not be your cup of tea, but you may check it out anyway to see what the deal is. I understand. Okay.
No, at this point, I'm just beating on it.
Okay.
All apologies to Ms. Brosh, because she's probably a very sweet girl. And I don't want to.
Well, you know what? I think she's more batshit crazy, but very entertaining. That would be my take. Very kind of, but just from when you read her blog, you feel like you get into her head, and it's a scary, scary place in there.
See, and then maybe that's my problem is I already have voices in my head, you know, and I've always been told to just shut up.
Okay, just shut up. So, all right, now.
Maybe what I should do is just start blogging these things.
Maybe. And then you could have 65,000 followers.
I guess. What would I do with 65,000 followers?
The same thing you do with the three or four that follow you now.
But I'm comfortable with the three or four that follow me now. Yeah. Thanks, Mom.
Can you? wouldn't it be amazing if we woke up someday and the day after we pay was supposed to show and there's 1,000 comments? And they're not all advertising Viagra, and they're not talking about, the post you did was very entertaining. Thank you very much.
Check out my blog.
Exactly.
No, I would be stunned. I would be stunned if we got more than a couple of, well, I don't know, we're getting more comments lately.
Right. I'm not saying we're not getting any. I'm just saying imagine if you woke up and there was 1,000. Because you got to figure,
you know, the percentage of the people that listen or read your or whatever contents you're doing, the percentage that actually take the time to then make a comment is a minute sample of the whole. So if you're getting 1,000 comments on a post, how many thousands are actually reading it? That's the amazing thing. That would be the
I've seen our stats. It's really not in the thousands.
No, I'm not saying us. I'm talking hypothetically. I'm talking
hypothetically.
I'm talking generally. I'm talking, you know, the hypothetical you, like the hypothetical they.
Is this like the royal we?
Exactly.
I use the royal we all the time.
It's so much nicer than the regular we. All right. While we're let's mention, of course, I did send
a. Now that we're talking about the royal we, and you said it's better than the regular we, I had a moment of, I wonder if Nintendo's going to market that one of these days.
The royal we.
Yeah.
Could be.
Come in fake gold plate, and then and like instead of an on-off button, it'll have like a little ruby stud that you press,
and it'll say, "I hope you enjoy us." And like, who's us? You and who? All right, so, again, beginning of the week, I tweeted that we were going to be recording, and what's going on out there, let us know. And the good news is the TBBA Spotlight will be coming back. Didn't have time this week to get with Brian to see what he wanted to mention this week. But you can also follow him on Twitter at DogEatDoug and check out his blog every day. He's got some great. Speaking of Brian Anderson, did you see the last – I retweeted the last paintings he did.
Yeah,
he did Sophie. He did actual, you know, canvas paintings. Sophie as Hellboy or Hellgirl in her case, and Doug as Captain America. Awesome. I believe they'll be on eBay if you want to buy them. Anyway, a good friend of ours, Haiku Birdie, good friend of the show, has recently lost his job. I believe he's working as a manager at a convenience store. So it's not a huge loss for him. He is out of work. So if anybody needs a poet for any reason, needs to have a poet on staff, you know, on retainer, tweet at him at Haiku Birdie, and I'm sure he can hook you up with whatever you need for your poetic needs.
Well, the man has multiple talents. I mean, let's not just pigeonhole him into just poet.
Look, one moment here. I know that's what you're saying, and I agree with you. But he tweeted at us, at JT Shea, since I'm unemployed, I could use some promoting. Who needs a poet? Again, that's a haiku, and that's what he said at me. So that's what I was expressing out to the people out there, that he's a poet for hire. But yes, he does have
some,
other...
Some kind of a traveling bard, perhaps?
That would be cool. I think that would work. That would work. We got a tweet
You remember in the Holy Grail?
Yes.
Where was it? Sir Robin had the whole
had the minstrels, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe we could arrange something like that.
That would be good.
At conventions, Haiku Birdie could just follow you around in a convention.
You know what I could see? Yeah, you'd follow you around, and somebody asked you a question, and you would say one moment, and you'd lean over. You wouldn't say anything. You'd lean over to Haiku Birdie, and you'd whisper in your ear what idea you want to get across, and then in a minute. You know, he'd hand you a piece of paper, and you would read the answer back, in haiku form. I think that would be cool. Be very useful. You know, that way you could just speak in haiku.
Yeah.
And wouldn't have to actually spend the time and energy to think of it, where he's been haikuing forever on Twitter. You know, he's called a twaiku or something, or twitku, or I don't know, whatever. Anyway. Anyway, let's see here. Coda, a.k.a. Kevin Heyman, good friend of the show and an occasional co-host, he's putting his local idiot on hiatus until next quarter. I guess school is bringing him down. But Aaron Apprentice is still continuing on. So he's just cutting back on the local idiot. But Aaron Apprentice is still going on, so no worries there. And he also wanted us to know, which is awesome, last year, again, with the Doctor Who news, no worry, no spoilers. Actually, hold on, let me play something here, because, I mean, actually, let's see here. And I want to get this working so much better than it is. Da-da-da. Now, you're not going to hear this, Scott, but it's okay.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, this will let you know that this gigcast on 202 is Doctor Who number 11
spoiler free. Please enjoy the rest of the show.
Okay. We'll see if that comes out. Anyway, last year when BBC America put out Doctor Who, they shortened the gap. The Doctor Who that played over in England was only about a week or two, depending upon the time of the year. It started out, they played in the Doctor Who show would be an episode of the show in England, and then a week later it would be on BBC America. And those of us who didn't feel like waiting still were not waiting. We were people were still, I don't know who they would be because I'd be wrong, we're downloading them the hour after they were posted online and watching them commercial free. Okay, but this year what they're doing is they're actually going to play on the same day in England and on BBC America for Doctor Who. So which is pretty awesome.
Will they stream it online?
Probably not. You might have to pay for.
How am I still going to get this?
I don't have cable.
BBC America, and I don't have. I'm conflicted now.
Just because BBC America is playing it on the same day doesn't mean that the hour after it airs in England, it's going to be not going to be online on the torrent sites.
Well, but I don't really do torrents anymore.
Yeah.
They really became unreliable and just. Honestly, they're getting kind of dangerous because.
You do have to be careful.
Well, they sort of figured out, they being media outlets and government agencies and things that have a vested interest in making sure that if you download things from torrent sites, your computer crashes. Mm. And this isn't just a conspiracy nut thing. They are trying to poison some of these streams.
They do.
So, I mean, it becomes much more... All right, first you got to upload it, start a blocking software to keep, known bad sites from trying to turn your computer into a bot.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that was the other thing that I heard on This Week in Tech, that if you're one of the kind of people who likes to, say, check out a piece of software first that you've downloaded off of, say, Pirate Bay.
Yeah.
And it was the cracked version of the software. Yeah, make sure you really, really scan your computer closely, because they're finding out that that's kind of how they're introducing a lot of these backdoor botnets.
Oh, yeah.
Is that they're releasing these, hey, look, it's Adobe whatever.
Yeah.
And we're going to release it to the public, and we've cracked it for you guys. Don't worry about it. It's perfectly safe.
Yeah. Huh.
And suddenly your computer is part of a DDoS against WordPress. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got to be careful.
And that's kind of what I'm saying, is I don't know how I'm going to – I mean, I really want to, stay – caught up, but I'm conflicted because if I don't pay some, some.
What you need to do
fee,
is you need to find somebody who's going to be watching the show anyway, and has Slingbox, and then they give you their Slingbox login so you can watch it when they watch it.
Yeah. So in other words, I've got to encourage somebody else to spend money on it.
Or the,
I just want it to go back to, I just want somebody.
I want it back on PBS, which is going away now anyway, so there's not going to be any more PBS for it, to be honest. It is.
Yeah, I mean, somebody put it on, I don't care if you put it on at 11 o'clock at night. There's just info fucking commercials on anyways.
Yeah.
Put Doctor Who on, throw some commercials in it. I'll watch it. I'll be nice. I'll sit through the commercials.
Yeah. Well, the same thing, like the way Firefly is on the Science Channel now, which is cool. We talked about that before. But, these products that people want to see, you put them on in weird hours, people are still going to watch them. But the whole BBC thing, now that there's BBC America, I'm thinking that the whole PBS angle is going to dry up for a lot of their shows.
I don't know.
Because if the United States, because BBC America now, they actually were the Tudors, Being Human, Doctor Who, Torchwood, all these shows that without cable, without them having their BBC America channel, they would have sold to the public television stations over here to get them on the air.
Right.
But they have their own outlet now.
Well, and I guess, if really sci-fi is worth their money, they they would be nice and put it on, but...
Didn't they?
Well, they did for a while.
Yeah.
But, again, it's kind of one of that, well, we don't want to share our profits.
Yeah, but that's cable as well. You don't have... I thought you didn't have cable.
I don't. But Sci-Fi will does replay their episodes.
Oh, they do, don't they? Yes, they do.
Right, and so does Hulu.
No,
and,
you could. Know, no, again, this is...
BBC America on Hulu.
You could, now, you know, you could, if you use some kind of IP masking thing, you can watch the episodes on BBC TV.
Nah, BBC. See, and that may be end up what I have to do, is just find a proper, I don't like proxies much either. I mean, it's, see, this is where being an IT guy really, really screws with you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you either end up with a really shady proxy. Or, and believe me, it's you know, having spent an enormous amount of time trying to make sure people aren't downloading crap from proxy sites, it's like you know, hey, you want to have a dog, but you get to clean up a yard full of turd.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, you're gonna have to, you know, you're gonna get a little tiny dog, because you figure a little tiny dog is easy to care for. But then you find out that the little tiny dog poops just as much as that giant Rottweiler.
It really does.
And you have to go out there and clean up on some kind of a soggy day every day. That's what being an IT guy is sometimes.
Yeah. Very, very nice analogy. That's good. Yeah. Should write that one down. Put it on your blog.
Actually, I'm going with that I don't mind focusing on the carrot as long as I don't have to.
Yeah, I saw that tweet / Facebook post you did today. That was very zen.
Somebody asked me today, so, hey, Scott, how's it going? I said, well, I'm just focusing on the carrot. And they went, what? I'm focusing on the carrot. What's that supposed to mean? So I had to go, well, I don't mind being the donkey, as long as I can keep focusing on the carrot, because I don't have to see what kind of shit you have in the cart.
Exactly. Just distract yourself. You know, you just keep your eye on the prize, and it doesn't matter what's...
As long as it's a pretty carrot, I'm good with it.
Yeah. Sure. I can see that.
See, and this is why you listen to the GigCast.
It is.
Words of wisdom like this. Just keep taking the
pearls. Abuse. Pearls of wisdom. Yeah. Speaking of pearls of wisdom, we also got a tweet from Carl. Should I read it?
Sure.
It says,
Wait, does it involve snuff porn?
That's for you to decide. He says, slightly inebriated and a loaf of rye bread under my arm. And yes, that's a sexual reference, like you doubted it. I don't know what exactly it means. It might have something to do with, is a rye bread like a code word for snuff? It could be. I don't know. But I asked for tweets, what's going on.
What kind of offensive thing did you maybe just say?
I don't know. It could be problems.
Why? I was going to say, why did you just throw that out there if you knew that was a, you know.
I don't know. I mean, it sounds innocuous. It may not be. But there you go. There you go, Carl. You tweeted it. I let people know it. Yeah.
God, we're going to get letters and things.
That'd be fun. I mean,
like actual letters telling us cease and desist. Cease and desist. Foul language.
Yeah, could be. Excuse me. I don't know.
You know what I dislike about Hulu?
Their interface sucks.
Well, I don't mind their interface.
You can't find the newest shows without clicking through 15 times.
Why do you have a problem finding the newest shows?
I just do. It's just me.
How's that a problem?
Okay, so what is your problem with Hulu then? Never mind what my problem with Hulu is. What's your problem with Hulu?
When you search for something,
yeah,
it brings up all these links for things that are not even on Hulu.
Uh-huh.
And if you click on them, they will actually bring you to sites that
outside of Hulu
are off Hulu.
What search provider do they use?
What's that?
What search provider are they using? Is it Bing? Is it Google?
No. I don't know that it's anybody.
It's got to be powered by one of those. They're not going to build their own search engine.
Why wouldn't they?
Because you get Google and Bing. Why would you bother? NBC, maybe. MSNBC, Bing. There you go. That's three levels of Kevin Bacon right there to it.
For example, I did a search for Doctor Who on Hulu just to see if they had anything interesting to say.
Uh-huh.
There's all these links to Funny or Die. You know, it's like, Really?
Isn't Funny or Die like a NBC thing?
I know. Well, and maybe that's it. Maybe these are their affiliates' websites.
Yeah, could be.
That they're linking to, you know, kind of give it that whole, you know, we'll send traffic your way thing.
Could be.
I'm sorry, I'm on Hulu. I'd like to, one, I would like to not have to pay Hulu Plus because, again, I don't want cable.
Yeah.
I will more than willingly sit through the stupid commercials.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Oh, good news.
Yeah.
Good news. All this goofy talk about Hulu.
Yeah.
A nerd classic is on Hulu. The 1986 version of Highlander.
Ah, the one that made sense?
None of them made
sense. Right, okay. That made more sense where there can be only one and it was the first movie, so it made perfect sense. That one? Awesome. And speaking of Will Wheaton, the fourth season of The Guild is all on the web now to watch?
Was it all on?
Yeah,
the fourth season was always all on. It was.
Well, I mean, it's it, was it? I
don't know. It's on YouTube now.
Right, that's where I
was. Yeah, but it was on MSN.
MSN was one of their sponsors things, yeah. And yeah, it's also and so Microsoft
the,
Network as
so
well.
So, yeah, right. the fourth season played out on the other site and is now on YouTube.
Yes.
Where you can watch it in all its YouTube-ish glory.
It's really good. Felicia Day is awesome.
Oh, it's really funny. The fourth season was hilarious.
It was.
Boy, I hope I'm not spoiling anything. The painting.
Oh, I love the painting. That painting is awesome.
Oh, we laughed and laughed at work about that.
You know, Will Wheaton is one of those.
You're not supposed to pause after you say something like that.
Sorry. He's just one of those, you know, those internet success stories where, you know, geek child actor gets stuck in a crappy role on a very popular television show and gets labeled as this, you know, really awful whatever, and he's getting his revenge now, which is awesome. It's just
see, it's like saying I've got this welt on the end of my
and you stop. I don't see a problem. I really don't.
Okay. Do you think I should have this looked at?
No, you're fine. You're fine. I wouldn't worry about that.
But you're saying that Will Wheaton is
and I leave it alone.
No. Yeah, got a.
I was trying to find the right words.
Yeah, no, he's getting his just rewards. I mean, but I mean, he. Now we're back to talking about the Nerdist. Go check out the Nerdist.
Yeah.
TheNerdist.com. Go find the Will Wheaton episode. Turns out that Chris Hardwick and Will Wheaton were roommates for a while.
Yeah.
There is so much Will Wheaton story, you know, backstory there. Where he basically just says in the interview, he says, hey, at one point in time, I realized how lucky of a guy I was to be able to do this kind of a thing.
Exactly.
And he went back and he took acting classes again and he...
Yeah, and that was after he decided to give it all up and went and worked for a software developer for a couple of years. I mean, what's up with that? I mean, that's like totally... You know, stepping away and then coming back. And he's worked really hard at what he's done, you know, and with his voice acting and his writing and everything else. So it's not like it was given to him. He's not, he didn't just give, you know, he's worked really hard at what he's done. And he's very funny and enjoy. He just tweeted, which was awesome. There was a time when we answered the phone without knowing who was calling every time. And then hashtag things the damn kids today don't believe. It's true. Remember that when the phone rang and you had no idea who was on the other end?
Remember when it was like rude to not answer the phone, you know, before 10 rings or whatever? Or
yeah.
If you let it go 10 rings, that was just considered rude.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about phones. I deal with phones all day at work.
Yeah, this whole you had downtime thing kind of depresses me.
Well, you know, put it this way. There are days where they pay me too much and there are days they don't pay me enough.
Okay. Yeah. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
And as I was leaving work today and looking up at how many cases were still in the queue, I kind of went, fuck.
Yeah. Fun. Again, because yours usually aren't quick. Yeah, plug it in, ma'am. It'll work fine. Answers. Yeah.
No, that's not a... Well, why don't you... Well, let's unplug the router. All right, now let's count to 10 together.
Yeah.
All right, now go ahead and plug that back in.
Exactly.
All right, now how's that working?
Good. Have a nice
and
day.
I'm not trying to...
No, that's... No, you're not. You want... They're hiring if you're interested in moving to Florida. It'd probably involve a pay cut, but come on down.
Well, yeah, I don't know. And I'm not going to get anything from the sale of my house.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I'll probably still owe money after I would sell my house.
Great. Awesome.
That's really good.
Anyway, I think we're done.
Yeah, I'm going to cry now.
I think we've...
Way to end on a low note.
An hour and 10 minutes of really informative babble, or just a lot of babble with little information in there. Whichever. All the information, the nuggets of information which were buried in our babble, will be found on the show notes on thegigcast.com and on nightgig.com.
Why do we do this again?
Because we love it. What? No. No, you're kidding? I've got this.
I'm depressed now. I think I'm going to quit.
But Scott, you're important to this process.
Not really.
Sure you are.
I mean, if I stopped doing it, you'd go on, wouldn't you?
Did I last time? Actually, I might. Who knows? I know that, again, the TBBA Spotlight, which those of you who don't remember stands for that bastard Brian Anderson Spotlight, is coming back. I am in secret talks, at least one-way talks right now, with Haiku Birdie to do a segment as well, because he knows he's out of work and has to get... Not that I'm going to pay him anything, but
you're
I've got an idea. I've got an idea. He hasn't answered my tweet yet, so we'll see what happens. It's a one-way conversation. We are going to amp things up here. I was trying to amp things up here with the sound effects and the stingers and bumpers and back. I'm trying to do it so I don't have to edit, put them in later. I want to do it right live with the show, but you don't need to know this. Anyway, is there anything else you want to say, Scott, that won't extend the episode forever, but you did want to mention that you might have forgotten?
Why are you even giving me this opportunity?
Yeah, never mind. Shut up. Okay. To follow Scott at scott.galton.com. We post stuff eventually.
Occasionally. Me on Twitter at madscott.com.
Twitter at madscott.
Of course, if you're listening to this, you're probably already following me.
Probably. And I'm JT Shea on Twitter as well. You can follow me there. We do need to update all our information and stuff on the Night Gig, on nightgig.com and thegigcast.com. Two feeds because we like to keep things complicated, but they both get the same information. So
eventually one will go away. There can be only one.
Just like the Highlander, right? Only one. Got to bring it back. Bring it back around.
Sorry,
again, thank Beatnik Turtle for the theme music at the beginning and the end. Awesome dudes. They're still over there at songoftheday.com. I believe you can find them there.
Why is it you think that I bring the show on and on and on?
I have to blame somebody, and I'm not blaming myself.
This is all good.
I'm not blaming myself. You know what, folks? That's it. Until next time, for all of us here at the Geekcast and Night Geek Studio, this is JT Shea saying, until next week, enjoy what you do.
This has been the Geekcast. Remember, all links mentioned on today's show can be found at our homepage at www.thegigcast.com. The Gigcast asks, what's your gig? Let us know. Drop us a line at gigcast@nightgig.com or call our voicemail line at 1-206-203-3334. The best we played every week on the show. Help us help you let people know what is your night gig. Music for the Gigcast provided by Beatnik Turtle at beatnikturtle.com and by Corey Smith at myspace.com/TheCoreySmith. The Gigcast is a production of Night Gig Studios at nightgig.com, where it's not about what you do to live, it's about what you live to do. Nightgig.com. What's your gig?
One.